Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This podcast contains adult themes and language, and some of the things that we discuss may be disturbing to some listeners. In this podcast, we discuss sexual assault, torture, race, and murder. Listener discretion is advised. Please take care of yourself.
So now let's get into the early life of Fukuda. What do you got for us, Beth?
Kazuko Fukuda was born in 1948 in the Japanese city of Matsuyama, the capital city in Ehime Prefecture. Her father abandoned the family when Kazuko was 4 or 5. In order to get by, her mother ended up running a brothel out of their home in Kawano City, now known as Shikokutuo City in Ehime Prefecture.
Although eventually her mother and a local fisherman married and the family moved to a small island, people found out about her mother's history and Kazuko was teased relentlessly.
When Kazuko was in the 3rd year of junior high school, her mother and stepfather divorced and mother and daughter moved to Imabari City, Ehime Prefecture. There, Kazuko's mother opened up a strip club.
Wow, she's a real entrepreneur.
She is, yeah.
In Imabari City, the lives of Kazuko and her mother were not only stabilized, they gradually became well off. What is that song?
We've been moving on up.
What is the city?
Imabari City. With a deluxe apartment in a strip
in the
club.
We're
moving on up.
Kazuko grew into a rebellious girl. She dropped out of school, and by the time she was 18, she was out of the house and living with her boyfriend. So now let's get into the timeline. Hit it, Beth!
In 1966, Fukuda and her boyfriend were arrested for robbery after they robbed the house of the head of the Japan Taxation Agency.
Oh.
She was sent to Matsuyama Prison, located just outside of Matsuyama, about 30 miles from Imabari City.
What happened there would later become known as the Matsuyama Prison Incident. Between 1964 and 1966, members of one of Japan's most powerful organized crime syndicates, the Yakuza, regularly paid off guards to look the other way while they drank, smoked, and gambled.
Worse, they obtained access to the female inmates, who they raped whenever they wanted. And one of their victims was 18-year-old Fukuda.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
And it happens in prisons to incarcerated peoples more often than you might think or like to know about.
Yeah.
So within 2 years, Fukuda was released and she got married at the age of 20. She divorced the man 5 years later, then married another man the following year. The couple eventually had 4 children.
But Fukuda liked to drink, gamble, and shop. And before long, she was deeply in debt to about 1.5 million yen, which is equal to about $30,000 in today's money.
Oof.
In 1982, Kazuko was 34, the mother of 4 children, and up to her neck in bills.
Mm.
She worked as a hostess at a cabaret in Matsuyama City, Ehime Prefecture.
Now, as a hostess, she was paid to serve and flirt with customers. One perk of the job was that customers were strongly encouraged to buy their hostesses drinks. And Kazuko loved to drink. The job seemed to fit her personality, and it paid better than many jobs available to women at the time. but it didn't pay enough to get her out of debt.
And her work nightlife started taking a toll on her role as a mother and wife. She was also seeing another man on the side, so she had a lot going on.
That is a lot. Four kids, yeah. Two men, a job, debt, bills.
I don't know.
I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how she did that. I am overwhelmed just thinking about it. In 1982, at the club where Kazuko was working, there were many other hostesses, including one named Atsuko Yasuoka. Atsuko was 31 years old. She was good looking. She was charming and one of the most popular hostesses in the club where the two worked.
As a single woman, Atsuko was able to live how she wanted, and she did. She had lots of clothing, jewelry, accessories, and money. She seemed happy, stress-free, and everything that Kazuko was not.
Ooh, already I'm feeling jealousy vibes. So Fukuda was, in fact, jealous.
Yeah.
And we know this because she made comments to other coworkers. She decided to make friends with Atsuko. And on August 19th, 1982, Fukuda went to Atsuko's house. You know, there are so many amazing movies out right now.
Yeah.
Civil War, Godzilla versus King Kong, Monkey Man, Dune Part 2. Can I get a what, Beth? Deadpool versus Wolverine is also coming out this summer.
Oh, that looks amazing.
I know. And Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. I just can't wait.
And don't forget Furiosa.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So many great movies to see. And the best place to experience them is in the theater.
That is the truth. No lies detected. You can't handle the truth. Now, experience is the best way to put this whole movie thing. I mean, the memorable moments, the getting lost in the stories, the popcorn, the snacks, the drinks, the comfy seats, the company. It is an experience and a magical one at that.
I couldn't agree more. I love going to the movies.
Yeah.
And there's something so special about movies and seeing a film in the theater.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare to anything else, really.
Yeah. Again, no lies. And listen close, Fruit Loops, because we have an offer from Regal Unlimited that you cannot refuse. We're going to make them an offer that I can't refuse. Regal Cinemas.
That's right. Regal Unlimited is an all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just two visits.
Did you say it pays for itself? Oh my gosh, tell me more.
Tell me more. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime without any blockout dates or restrictions. And if you want to see a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost.
With Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets. You'll also save on snacks.
Woo.
Members get 10% off all non-alcoholic concessions items.
So if you're planning to see two movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Use promo code FLOOPSREG, that's FLOOPSREG, to let them know that Beth and Wendy sent you.
Again, go to the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited and use promo code FLOOPSREG.
Thanks, Regal Cinemas, for sponsoring the show.
Yay!
Now, the only people who know exactly what happened at that house are Fukuda, who is an unreliable narrator, and Atsuko. What we do know is that Fukuda strangled Atsuko to death. So Atsuko can't tell us what happened.
Right. So in any case, after she killed Atsuko, Fukuda called her husband and told him to come to Atsuko's house. When he got there and saw what his wife had done, he started freaking out. Fukuda told her husband that she had lent Atsuko money, and although she had asked her to pay it back multiple times, Atsuko refused to pay it back. So I killed her.
She claimed that she went to Atsuko's house to ask for the money once again, but instead of agreeing to pay her back, Atsuko hit her in the head with an ashtray.
Oh,
what a bitch!
Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay.
Okay, Fukuda.
Ladies. Wow. Okay.
The two then got into a physical fight during which Fukuda strangled Atsuko to death. That's her story. That's what she's going
with. That's her story. In America, in the United States, we might call that like mutual combat. And so nobody, right? No, if they're both fighting, they
mutual
either
combat.
That is a real thing in that police and law enforcement use.
It sounds like a game.
It does.
Mutual combat.
It does, but I'm pretty sure it's real. I've heard, you know, crime people talk about it. Essentially, it means they're both engaged in combat or fighting, and either they both get in trouble or nobody gets in trouble. Basically.
Okay.
But right. This isn't that. I'm sorry I said all that. It doesn't really fit here. Anyway, her husband believed her, but urged her to turn herself in, and she refused. Instead, she came up with a plan to cover up the murder and get rid of Atsuko's body. She decided to try and make it look like Atsuko had abandoned her apartment and life and ran away.
In Japanese, this is called johatsu, which literally translates to evaporation, meaning disappearing without leaving any trace. There's another description for a variation of the same phenomenon, yonish, or disappearing into the night, which describes the phenomenon of an entire family disappearing.
Mm.
There are even fly-by-night moving companies that will help you and your family disappear.
What?
It's that common.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
I want one. I want to disappear into the night.
Wow. No, that is really neat. I mean, there might be a market for that here in the United States.
That could be, yeah.
Fly by night moving company at your service. So the reasons for the sudden disappearance of people or families in Japan differ. But one factor is that Japanese work culture expects people to work long hours and be constantly productive. I've actually seen like Vice and Vox News photos and articles.
Talk about this.
Yeah, with just people, men who've worked so long and so hard at the office, just pass out on the street.
Wow.
Yeah. And so sometimes even up until the point of death from overwork, a phenomenon called karoshi. And people who die by suicide due to mental stress are called karoji satsu.
So rather than falling victim to karoshi or karoji satsu, sometimes people will just disappear and start again somewhere else.
Hmm.
Other reasons might be the loss of a job or poor performance on exams. In Japanese culture, as we mentioned earlier, honor and respect is very important, and it's a collectivist society. So,
Right. So because of the high emphasis on in-group belonging and affiliation with family and other social networks, dishonoring yourself places Japanese individuals at risk of losing their place in society.
In any case, in order to make it look like johatsu, Fukuda took all of Atsuko's possessions and hid them at the apartment of her boyfriend. And she got her husband to help her.
Whoa. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty brazen.
Yeah.
She took cash and more than 300 items, including furniture and a bank book, worth a total of around 9.5 million yen, which was worth somewhere around $40,000 in 1982 dollars. Mm. In today's money, that would be over $100,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Also, getting your husband and boyfriend to help you, like, move a body is
Get away with murder.
Yeah. It's so, I can't even get old Whitey to help me put away the dishes, let alone move a body. Ay, ay, ay. So she also convinced her husband to help her dispose of Atsuko's body, as we said. Together, they took her body and dumped it in a mountainous area outside of Matsuyama City. The two felt that because the weather was hot, the body would decompose quickly. So they just threw Atsuko's body into the woods without even burying it.
And on August 24th, 1982, some hikers found a female body swollen by rain in a mountain forest on the outskirts of Matsuyama City, and they notified police. After an investigation and search through records of recent missing persons, the police confirmed that the woman was Atsuko Yasuoka.
The owner of the club where she worked had called the police 3 days earlier saying that Atsuko had been absent for two consecutive days and they were unable to get a hold of her. When police went to Atsuko's house, they found that everything was gone. When questioning her co-workers, they learned that Fukuda was one of the last people to see her.
Police phoned Fukuda's house to ask her into the station for questioning. Fukuda pretended to be one of her kids.
Oh, wow. She's really quick on her feet.
She is. And she said her mom would be back shortly.
Wow.
Then after hanging up, she took 600,000 yen, about $3,000 in 80s money, but close to $10,000 in today's money, that she had stolen from Atsuko, and she fled the city.
Kazuko later claimed that she intended to go to Aomori Prefecture, which is a remote part of the country known for its natural beauty. She said, quote, "I was going to atone for my evil deed by going to a sacred area, say a prayer, and end my life. But I got on the wrong train and ended up in Kanazawa," unquote.
A likely story.
I am just saying, I don't know why there isn't a movie yet about this case.
I think there is a Japanese movie, but not one in English.
Oh, man. I wish I would have watched it before this. The twist.
Oh, you wouldn't have been able to understand it because it's in Japanese. So.
It's not dubbed? There's no subtitles?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man. Okay. Well, let's work on that, everybody. So Kanazawa is in Ishikawa Prefecture, about 620 kilometers or 385 miles for Americans from Matsuyama.
When police went to her house to look for her, they found a large amount of gold and silver jewelry stolen from Atsuko. They then arrested her husband and began questioning him. They told him that Fukuda had owed money to many people, including loan sharks.
They also told them that based on the autopsy, it looked like Atsuko had been strangled from behind, and they told him about Fukuda's boyfriend. Faced with all this information, Fukuda's husband broke, and he confessed to his role in Atsuko's murder. He was later charged and convicted of disposing a body.
In the meantime, Fukuda was on the run. Of course, it would be near impossible to run from the police forever. But Fukuda didn't have to run forever. Because of the statute of limitations on murder in Japan, she would just have to avoid capture for 15 years.
15 years. Time me. I'll go now.
You can do it.
Yeah. And that is just so little time. It's really like I've been having a hard time wrapping my mind about just how small of a window that is.
Yeah.
In Kanazawa City, Fukuda initially found it difficult to find work as a hostess due to her age. Hostesses tended to be between the ages of 16 and 30, and Atsuko was in her mid-30s. However, she eventually landed a job at a snack club. What's that? A snack club was just a cheaper, less fancy version of the kind of club that she was used to working at.
She would travel to Osaka via the bullet train, which is like a fast train, to make calls home to her family and friends. She knew her calls would be traced, and it was a deliberate attempt to throw investigators off of her trail.
I don't know this for sure, but I believe she also must have really enjoyed like crime dramas, crime shows. Because she is doing the most to not get caught.
Pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Fukuda decided to go to Tokyo and get some plastic surgery. She had a couple reasons for doing this. One was to change the look of her face to avoid detection by police. The other was to look younger and prettier so she could get better jobs. She would go on to have several more surgeries, which led her to become known as the Woman of Seven Faces in the media.
Around September 1985, while working as a hostess, she began dating a customer who owned a candy shop. She moved in with the man and started working in his candy shop. People who came into the shop seemed to really like her, and she became part of the community. As time went on, Fukuda began feeling more confident and less worried about being discovered.
She even invited one of her sons to come live and work with her at the shop.
Wow.
Yeah, she told her boyfriend that he was her nephew. At the same time, she had been added to Japan's most wanted list, and posters of her were all over Japan.
That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
When her boyfriend proposed marriage, Fukuda didn't accept for fear of her identity being revealed, because if they got married, she'd have to produce identification and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What she told her boyfriend is that she was already married and had fled her life because her husband was violent. So she couldn't get married.
He believed her, but his cousin did not. The cousin thought she resembled the infamous Kazuko Fukuda and notified police.
Whoa.
What's
going to happen?
We got a rat in the family? I can't marry into this family.
On February 12th, 1988, the family was at a funeral when the police showed up. Fukuda saw them before they saw her, and thinking quickly, she took a bicycle and rode it all the way to Nagoya, a distance of around 235 kilometers or 146 miles.
Wow.
And mind you, she was at a funeral, so she was all dressed up.
Wow. Oh my. I'm visualizing this, and it's just wild. Nuts. It's wild. It is wild. I don't have any other words. So according to reported sightings, investigations, and her later testimony, she then moved around various areas of Japan, including Hakodate, Aomori, Niigata, and Osaka, where she said she experienced homelessness and lived in a cardboard box. As she moved from place to place, she always worked to stay one step ahead of the police.
In Nagoya, she found a job cleaning love hotels.
Oh!
Yeah. Love hotels in Japan are discreet hotels that customers can pay for by the hour and require no identification.
Mm.
Usually, there's no front desk staff and customers can go in and out without seeing a single person.
Oh!
I don't know how that works. Is there like a... Do you put money in the...
Maybe you put money in, like, money in the like vending machine and a key out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah, me too.
So this anonymity was also a benefit for Kazuko, as no one could see her face or recognize her.
During her work at the Love Hotel, one of her colleagues did recognize her from the posters that were posted at the police station and confronted her. They told her to surrender, but once again, Kazuko refused and fled the hotel.
She applied to work at another love hotel in Nagoya, but when the application required a photograph and fingerprints, she declined and instead moved to a nearby city called Fukui. But attempting to find work without having identification or a residence was tough, and she ended up working in a brothel in Osaka. And it's my understanding that she was not a sex worker.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I don't know for sure. I don't know 100%.
Okay. Well, the links will be in the show notes, and you can look further if you want, I suppose. Now, she eventually quit the brothel and moved back to Fukui under another fake name and found a job at a traditional Japanese hot pot restaurant that serves oden, a type of hot soup containing various vegetables and meat. Mmm, sounds so good.
It does. Makes me want some soup.
Yeah, me too. If I were the president, I would make soup available for everyone every day, period.
Hmm.
That's my platform.
That's
Wendy
your platform.
2024.
Soup for everyone.
Soup for everyone. I love soup so much. I would eat soup for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
So once again, feeling comfortable that the police had lost her and she had covered her tracks, she started living her life in Fukui like a normal person, working at the restaurant, drinking at bars, going to karaoke. She was enjoying her freedom.
At one point, a police officer drinking at the restaurant commented to her that she resembled Kazuko Fukuda, the famous fugitive, to which she laughed, pounded her fist on the table, and jokingly demanded that he take her fingerprints. Oh, yeah. And guess what? He didn't. So now we're going to get into the investigation and the arrest. What the what, Beth?
In 1997, police were desperate to find Fukuda before the statute of limitations ran out. So they offered a 1 million yen, about $10,000 reward, for any information that led to her capture. A then unprecedented move. They didn't do that there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, murder wasn't really a problem.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Why would
they? Yeah. And also a prepaid telephone card with her image on it was also issued.
Interesting. So everybody got a phone card with her picture on it?
If they bought a phone card,
wow.
I guess.
Wow.
It would have her picture on it.
That is so smart. That's genius.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Okay. So the Jujin Hospital in Tokyo, where Fukuda received at least one of her operations, also offered a reward. Since, as director, Fumihiko Umezawa told the Washington Post, quote, "Anyone who did a bad thing should have to pay for it," unquote. They may have been ashamed to have played part of her scheme.
Yeah, I think they felt like scammed. You know?
By her. Well, you know, she's kind of a really good scammer. So
she is. She's really good at it.
She's,
I don't know. We always cover these female criminals and we always end up admiring them.
I mean, I don't know why. I really don't know why that is. Like, I couldn't tell you what it is. But I mean, I admire ingenuity. admire tenacity. And these usually are not traits that are encouraged in girls, right?
Yeah.
Not in a brazen way, so to diminish the shine of men.
And right. That's true.
I'm sorry, but I really admire it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't admire the murdering part.
I don't admire that.
And everything she did to get away with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating because it's so unusual. Women generally don't do this. And that's because of the patriarchy.
Right. Yeah. So it's hard not to admire it. Mm-hmm. And on July 24th, 1997, a customer at the Odin restaurant where Fukuda worked informed police about a woman who resembled Fukuda who worked at the restaurant. Police arrived at around 2 p.m. and questioned her at the restaurant. At the time, Fukuda was using the alias Yukiko Nakamura.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
While drinking beer and eating with the police, wait a minute, she was hanging out with them. Fukuda answered questions, but declined to have her fingerprints taken. However, police got her fingerprints off of the beer bottles she was drinking from during the questioning. Got her. I was going to say got him, but got her.
And after 14 years and 344 days on the run, Fukuda was arrested 21 days before the statute of limitations expired.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
The day after her arrest, Fukuda was escorted to the Shinkansen train station in Fukui to be taken by bullet train and overland to the Matsuyama police station in Ehime Prefecture, where the investigation headquarters was located.
14 years and 344 days. 21 days left. Wow. Fukuda was held on either side by police officers with a towel over her head. The press chased after them frantically to get a good position and capture Fukuda's facial expressions. Under the towel, Fukuda was crying. At one point, it was reported that she screamed.
During the interrogation, she at first claimed that she didn't murder Atsuko, but was with the man who killed her, claiming she was just an accomplice. Police looked into the man she mentioned and found that he had already passed away.
The statute of limitations was set to happen in 6 days, and the police needed to prove that the man Fukuda claimed was the killer had an alibi and wasn't involved in the crime. If they couldn't prove that, the prosecution would have a tough time in court.
Talking to relatives of the man, they couldn't recall what the man was doing on August 19th, 1982. Yeah, it was almost 15 years earlier. So,
right, it would be tough.
Yeah, but luckily, they did have an old diary that the man had used, and they were able to confirm through his entries that he was, in fact, in Tokyo on business at the time of the murder.
I don't say this often, but I really love it when police do some good investigating. And this is some good investigating. So Kazuko Fukuda had evaded police for 14 years and 11 months. I mean, oh my,
No wonder she was crying and screaming. She didn't make it.
Yeah.
So she was finally charged just hours before the statute of limitations would have run out. Oh my God.
Wow.
I mean, the whole country of Japan is into this, right? It feels OJ Simpson-ish.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now let's get into the trial. What do you got for us, Beth?
So, as you mentioned, Fukuda's story absolutely captivated the public. And at the beginning of her trial, an estimated 1,900 people waited in line to sit in the gallery at the Matsuyama District Court. Mm. And in May of 1999, the court found Fukuda guilty of murder. Although it ruled that the murder was not premeditated, it was found that the robbery was.
Fukuda received a life sentence. She tried to appeal it, this time claiming that she had been in a romantic relationship with Atsuka, and she killed her in a fit of passion when the relationship had soured.
One podcast that I listened to, and I think it was Women in Crime,
uh-huh.
they said something about crimes of passion receiving shorter sentences, so that might be why she claimed that.
Shout out to our pals over at Women in Crime.
But it didn't work. The appeal was rejected by the Supreme Court in 2003.
Wow. So let's get into where are they now? I'll tell you. Although Fukuda escaped capture for many, many, many years, she only ended up serving about 5 years in prison. In February of 2005, she collapsed while working at a factory at the Wekayama prison in Wekayama City. She went into a coma and never regained consciousness. She died of a subarachnoid hemorrhage on March 10th, 2005, at the age of 57. A subarachnoid hemorrhage is when the hemorrhage looks like a spider in your brain.
Therefore, arachnoid.
Thank you. We're smart.
Crime victim groups in Japan pushed to abolish the statute of limitations for serious crimes. And in 2010, Japan's legislature amended the country's criminal procedure law to abolish the statute of limitations for murder and other crimes that result in the deaths of persons.
Wow. So that's it for the story. Now let's get into our takes and thoughts. What do you think about this case, Beth?
Well, I'm sure that her shitty childhood had to have been a factor. You know, the father leaving the family, being poor, watching her mother do whatever she had to do to get by.
Mm-hmm.
And being a single mother at that time had to have been really difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she was arrested and sent to prison. And was raped by those
men.
Yakuza
men.
Yeah. Horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she had it rough.
Yeah, that's trauma. And a lot of little traumas and big traumas that add up.
Yeah. All that stuff's going to fuck you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I never got a real clear idea of why Fukuda killed Atsuko.
Okay.
She told different versions of what happened. So who knows?
Mm-hmm.
She probably was jealous because she told her coworkers things that made them jealous. Believe.
Atsuko sounded like she was living the dream.
Yeah.
Young, beautiful, making money, nice things. I mean, that's what I want. She was a baddie with a bag. And that's my dream in life.
So, yeah, Fukuda probably wanted what Atsuko had. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was a spur of the moment thing, or maybe she planned it out.
Maybe.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
But as we were talking about, I have to admit that I admire her cunning.
Yup.
She almost got away with murder.
She really did. Almost.
Almost. She was so close.
Yeah. But the stress of all those years of hiding. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why
no thanks.
Yeah. That's a lot. I'm not surprised she died of a heart attack. I mean, after everything she'd been through.
Or it was a subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Oh, a brain hemorrhage. But her body was weathered, I imagine, from the stress of childhood, the stress of being imprisoned and being violated by all those men, and then being after doing something so heinous and then being on the run and constant, like she could never rest, really.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think at her core, she was a survivor. And that she had to do whatever she could for her survival. I was under the impression that her kids were still around, but I don't, now that we've gone through this, I don't think she had her kids with her at all, which also would have been really, really hard to endure without your babies, right?
You would think so, but nothing I read said anything about that.
Mm.
So I don't really know.
Okay.
I don't know what kind, you know.
Like what kind of mom she was?
Yeah, or, you know, maybe she had a personality disorder. Maybe the kids didn't mean that much to her. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I was curious. I mean, she invited one of them to come stay with her, to be with her, but couldn't really reveal who he was. And so
who he was.
And I just can't imagine being away from my kids.
Not
like that for almost 15 years.
Not worth it.
Yeah. I think the murder of Atsuko was a combination of jealousy. And when the opportunity presented itself, she took it. And this was in like the 1980s. And I, after going through this entire case, 1,000% sure there was probably a movie or some soap opera that was running on TV with this exact plot. And she,
somebody running the idea, from the police.
Yeah, the idea got in her head, coupled with her knowledge on the statute of limitations. And she was like, yes. And she was like a trailblazer in a weird way, in that she changed the system with regard to the statute of limitations. So I don't know. I think that's significant as far as impact that this case has, is that it changed an entire law that should have been changed a long time ago.
Yeah.
And also, never forget, rest in power to Atsuko, who sounded like she was just the most beautiful person inside and out. And let us know what you think. Your hot takes. Beth, where can the people find us?
Our website is fruitloopspod.com, and we use Fruit Loops Pod for all of our social media.
This is a weekly podcast, and new episodes drop every Thursday. So until next time, look alive, y'all. It's crazy out there.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister, Emma. Andrew Tonks's lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.